As you're sitting, let's pray together. Father God, we're grateful today. Grateful for the many things that you have done in our lives, but grateful that we can call you and know, God, that you are holy, that you are set apart, that you are beyond ourselves, that you are perfect, that you're present, that you are always available. And God, we're amazed, yet we know in a simplistic manner that you are all of those things. Holy and forever, eternal, high and lifted up. And for that, God, we express gratitude and thanksgiving to you. And we also just ask, God, that you would continue to speak to us. Through your grace and your mercy, that you would reveal to us your power, your authority, your love for us. And God, I also pray that you would speak to our hearts and remind us of the areas of our lives where we have fallen short of your glory, so that we might be willing to confess to you and seek forgiveness. Because God, we want to be in your presence, and we know that sin cannot be present there. So help us with that. Because you are the King of Kings, you're the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, and we thank you that you are these things. And thank you for reminding us that we are not, that we are finite, that we are human, and we need you and you alone. God, this morning, we also just want to continue to seek you for the things that are in our lives, the things that we have going on around us, and loved ones that are in need, and family members, church family members that are also in need. God, for some of us this morning, we just need a reminder of your love for us. We need a reminder that you can heal, that you can work, and that you are faithful. Because some of us right now are just feeling distant, feeling alone, and are hurt and are hurting. And so, God, will you bring healing? Will you bring family out of loneliness? Will you remind us that you care for us? We pray for our friend John Scarple, and ask, God, that you would continue to bring healing upon his body after his surgery on Friday. God, the pain is heavy in his life right now, and we pray for relief for that specifically right now, and ask that you would bring the pain levels down, because healing is happening. We pray for that, God. For others, Lord, we just ask that your hand of mercy would fall heavy upon us. Because where your hand is, Lord, there is comfort, there is peace, there's restoration, and there is healing. And all of us need that somehow, some way today. God, will you work in our lives today? And as we hear your word, either spoken to us through the sermon today or through our Hope Kids, the Children's Church, Lord, will you utilize these times for your glory to be made known, and for teaching and encouragement and life change happen in these moments. God, help us to be a church that are disciples and are making disciples. Help us with that, God. We pray these things in your Son's glorious name, the name of Jesus. And everyone joins with me. Amen. Amen. It's good to be with everyone this morning. Good morning and welcome. We're glad that you're here today. We have a couple of things that we just want to remind you about. We have a QR code that you can utilize at any point in time today to connect with Living Hope and just be aware of what's happening here at the church. We have a number of things that we just want to communicate with you and remind you about today. First one is that we are receiving hats, gloves, and warm items for Nixon Elementary so that they can have a warm winter. And we're going to be receiving these until next Sunday. And if you are out and about and you want to pick up some extra hats and gloves and things like that, that will help keep kids warm this winter, you can do that. And you can drop them off in the hallway underneath the cross. And that's a perfect way for you to help out. We are receiving faith promises today. You have a card that's in the row that's somewhere near you. If you need an extra one, look around. There's others that are available for you, or we have them back by the table. We're going to be receiving these later on today, but I want to talk about these specifically today. The top portion is a guide for you that if you are looking for a guide of how you might want to give, that's specifically up for you and how you might want to do that. The top portion is for you. If you have a specific number that you want to commit to for faith promise giving for this next year, you can just tear off the bottom portion of it, and then we're going to have those placed in our offering box towards the end of the service. And so that will happen later on. But I want to just encourage you that over the next half an hour, 45 minutes, that you be continuing to think, because I've already invited you to be praying about how God might put a number on your heart of how you might give this next 7 months for Faith Promise Giving. Because we do this to help keep our missionaries in the field. We support about 8 global missionaries, and we have 3 local mission agencies that we support, and this is how we do that, and we would love it if you would partner with us. We're going to do this for the next 7 months, as far as this is the commitment time frame, and you can utilize that at any point in time today. But we also just want to remind you that in the back hallway, you'll see a globe. It's a map. I don't know why globe came out, but it's a map, and it has a number of missionary pictures underneath it. Those are the missionaries that we support, and you can just check that out at any point in time because they are all there for you, so you can kind of know who they are. But for those of you that remember this summer when we had a team that went to Guatemala, that is a part of some of our missionaries that we support, and it's a great way for us to do that, and we need your help. So thank you so much for doing so. I'll be talking about how to handle this later on this morning. Today is a fifth Sunday lunch day. So if you arrived here and you're like, what? There's a table in the back. What's that all about? It's because we're going to be serving lunch afterwards. And maybe you brought some food. Maybe you were like, oh, I didn't know that it was fifth Sunday lunch. Well, that means that we got to do a couple of things. We got to connect you with the Facebook and email and the different areas that we communicate so that you're aware of them. But don't worry, if you didn't bring anything today, please stick around. There's plenty of food and there's always enough. We believe that God is our provider, right? He provided the loaves and the fish, and how many people ate? A lot. 5,000, and then another time it was 4,000. So we believe that God is always available to provide, and he'll provide today. If there's only 5 loaves and fish and a couple of fish back there, we may not enjoy it, but it'll still be enough. I don't know how you like loaves and fishes, but isn't that funny? Fishes, that's not how you say those things. Stick around. We would be glad for you to do that. We will rearrange the sanctuary to provide a seating space for everybody. So a couple of trustees, if you can take charge after service today so that we can get the sanctuary reset, that would be great. Jim Appleby has an announcement that he would like to come and chat and share with us about this morning.
Good morning, Living Hopers. How are we today? Oh, that's good. Everybody's had their caffeine and their donuts in preparation for the fifth Sunday lunch. So, hey, I'm up here to kind of plug our fall fundraiser shindig. Yes, I used the term shindig. It's going to be out in Mount Vernon, Saturday, October the 12th from 5 to 7 p.m. Super casual in a really cool barn. It's a 100-year-old barn. It's got the big old rounded, looks like a boat upside down sort of thing. You know, it's going to be really cool. We're going to do walking tacos for the meal, right? Is that right? Desserts are sign up. Here's the sign up sheet. It's going to be on the little table in the window there. And we've only got maybe five or six desserts on here so far. That's not enough. We need more desserts, so be sure and sign up for that. It'll be Saturday, October the 12th, 5 to 7. And the address is on here. I think it's probably on the webpage and all that stuff, too. So the only other thing, our host, it's a working farm. So our host has requested that it be mostly adults. You can still bring kids if you need to, but you need to keep them inside the barn and supervise them. So it's kind of an adult thing. But if you don't have anywhere for the kids to go, bring them with. You'll just need to make sure that they don't climb on the farm machinery and all that stuff and eat all the desserts. So anyway, Saturday, October the 12th, 5 to 7 p.m., come on out.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Jim. And if you didn't know, Jim is a part of the band, so make sure that if you do show up, and then you can look at Jim as he plays the bass guitar. I don't know where I was going with that, but that's where we landed, everybody. Last thing that I want to share with you is that we have an opportunity with Nixon Elementary to participate in what is called America Reads. It's a day where schools all across the nation have volunteers come into the school and read to children. And if you have a little bit of time on specifically October 18th, and you would be willing to give up probably about a half an hour in the morning or a half an hour in the afternoon, and you wouldn't mind just going and reading a book or two to children in their classroom, this is a great way to just involve yourself in the school. And if you're interested, I have forms for you. They are on the table in the back hallway, or if you don't find them, let me know, and I will gladly get you one. But it's just a great way to rub some shoulders with some kids, and they just love having adults there to read to them. And I've done it for a number of years, and it is a blast, and I hope that you might consider it. It's October 18th. Well, we're going to dismiss our kids for Wesleyan Kids for Missions and dismiss them to their leaders in the back. So kids age 5 to 5th grade are to meet their leaders there for Kids for Missions today. So let's head on out, kids. And while they're doing that, I'm going to invite you to open up your Bibles to the book of Hebrews today. We are expanding our current sermon series. We had been, for the last number of weeks, been basically talking about God and his characteristics. And for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be turning over to Jesus and who he is. And today we're talking about Jesus as being the high priest. It doesn't happen very often, and I mean it happens very rare, but occasionally when I meet people for the first time and they may not be very versed in church speak, I guess, dialogue, whatever it might be, sometimes I am referred to as Father, and it's not by my kids. There's this thought sometimes that because I'm a pastor, because I am a part of a church and I'm employed by a church, that they call me Father Chopper, and that just sounds funny. Because I don't even hear that from my kids. They're just Dad. And anyways, and I have to politely tell people, no, I'm not a priest, I'm a pastor. And then they ask, well, what's the difference? And then I have to go into differences between Catholic Church and the Protestant Church. And then I start talking church history, and they get bored, and their eyes gloss over, and they start to fall asleep. and then we have a problem. But it's interesting how sometimes that happens to me. And we're looking at a title of Jesus that is high priest, and it's a term that you and I don't necessarily use very often, and that is the term priest. We haven't really used that a whole lot. There's nothing wrong with us not using it, but Jesus is called the great high priest. And it's an important title. And I want to give you a, if you haven't wrestled or not wrestled, if you haven't been introduced to this title of Jesus's, today's going to be your day to kind of get a big picture of Jesus's role as the high priest. But I also want to give you an understanding of the primary responsibilities of the Old Testament priests as well, so that we can kind of look at them and their differences. Primary responsibilities of the Old Testament priests was to be a go-between, to be the person that goes to God on behalf of the people of Israel. And so they were the ones that were designated to make sacrifices for the people of Israel. They would burn incense from time to time in the tabernacle, and and it was the high priest that was allowed to go into the inner room, that is the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle or the temple, and they would offer sacrifices there one time of a year for the sins of the people of Israel. And their primary responsibilities had a lot to do with sacrifices. If you want to go a little bit deeper into the Old Testament perspective of the priesthood, I would encourage you to read Leviticus and dig into that a little bit. We don't have time to do that specifically today, but dig into what the priests did, and some of their requirements and some of the things that they were a part of. Now, the priestly line all lined up with the sons of Aaron and then came through the tribe of Levi. If you don't remember who Aaron was the brother of Moses. And so he was the one who was, him and his sons were given the responsibility of being the first priests of Israel as they left Egypt and was beginning their trek from Egypt to the Holy Land. And so there's three things that I want to talk to you about today when it comes to the high priest, as Jesus being the high priest. And first of all, he is eternal. Jesus is the high priest that is eternal. Since there is a need for a priest, a need for a priest that would go to God on our behalf, we need one that can last forever. And Jesus is this high priest that is eternal. Because high priests in the Old Testament days or Bible days, they were replaced from time to time. There was a high priest that was cycling, but Jesus is different. Hebrews 5:5-6 tells us that in the same way Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Now that's a fun name and a great reference to a person that is mentioned in Genesis chapter 14. Melchizedek was a priest of God Most High, and he was a king. Specifically, he was the king of Salem, which eventually becomes Jerusalem. He was the one in Genesis chapter 14 that Abraham showed honor to when the spoils of saving his nephew Lot resulted in tithing to Melchizedek. And the author of Hebrews is connecting Jesus to a priesthood in Genesis that is the priesthood of Melchizedek, who had no lineage, no genealogy, and the writer of Hebrews is saying that Jesus fits this ancient line of priests that has no end, and Jesus will be a priest forever. If you want to read an interesting story, go to Genesis chapter 14, and you'll be able to unpack who this person of Melchizedek is. But he was a priest, and he was a king. And if you think about who Jesus is, he's a priest, and he's a king. And there's a connection there that is quite deep. And what do we know about Jesus? When it comes to Jesus, not only did he die on the cross, not only was that he was buried on the third day, but he was raised from the grave and lives, and he ascended into heaven, having been raised. He is alive, and he's well, and he's in heaven sitting at the right hand of God. Jesus is eternal. He's different than every other priest that was existing at that point in time. And Colossians 2 picks up on this eternalness of Jesus, and he says that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. You should, this should sound familiar since we just spent some time in Colossians. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. Jesus is different than the normal priests of the day, of the Bible times. He is eternal. He is never replaced. He is the high priest for all time. And besides that, Jesus gave us one sacrifice for all time. One sacrifice. His body, his blood, once and for all. Every other priest offered sacrifice after sacrifice, after day after day, after month, year after year. Not the eternal sacrifice of Jesus, which is once, one time, for all time. And this eternalness of Jesus being the high priest matters. It matters as we look at him and we recognize that we have a priest that goes before us to God, that is in the eternal temple of God, in the throne room of God, and is there before us all the time. Second thought is this, is that he understands. As a high priest, Jesus understands. Being born of Mary, being the second person of the Trinity, as Paul says in Philippians, being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity, that is God, lives in bodily form in Jesus. Hold on to that for just a moment, because we really like this picture of who Jesus is, the fullness of him, when we get to about 2 months from now, right? October, November, yeah, December, it's coming right up. We love to think about the fullness of Jesus in a manger. The fullness of Jesus with Joseph and Mary, surrounded by animals, surrounded by eventually shepherds, and then eventually with the fullness of Jesus as a child with the wise men and everything that happens. We love this fullness of who Jesus is, and we call him Emmanuel. And I know that I talked about that last week, but think about it for just a moment. We have God in the fullness in a child. God with us. And the angel is telling Joseph that this child that Mary is carrying is the very embodiment of God, and that he would live among us, be born, have live among his people, have all the experiences that you and I would have the experience of hunger and pain and joy and laughter and so much more. This is Jesus. This is a high priest that experiences all these things. And Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." Jesus being made lower than angels. When Jesus came to earth, he gave up his position as being the one who created the angels to be the created. And for a moment, for a period of time, he was lower because he became part of the creation. And he suffered death so that we might not have to taste it. Death for everyone. So that we wouldn't have to experience that separation with God. Hebrews 4:14 through 16 says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Now, I titled this section as being "He Understands Us." You see, we have an understanding with this high priest Jesus that is similar but different. I love those terminologies. Do you like those, similar but different? I remembered one of those when I was on a plane to Brazil on a mission trip, and I was talking to this guy, and he was Brazilian, and I caught like every five words, and because he had a very thick Portuguese accent, and the people were coming by with the food and beverage and things like that. And yeah, this was the time when they actually served food on the plane, and it was like, sweet, I'm going to have some. Then I don't know what it was. But they were serving soda or pop. Which one is it around here? I don't drink either one. Soda, pop. Either way, they were serving something and it was called Guaraná. And I was like, "What is that?" And he's like, "It's Guaraná." And I'm like, "I still don't know what that means. What does that mean?" It's like Coke, but different. Yeah, it was really different, but it was like Coke, but it was different. I love those types of differences. But when we think about the difference between the high priest that we are experiencing, Jesus is different because we have a high priest in Jesus that is experiencing the human experience just like you and I have had. But one of the things that was completely different is that he did not sin. He did not give in to sin. He was sinless. So he has a different perspective of sin than a high priest in Old Testament time would have had. An Old Testament priest would have dealt very gently with sin and saying, "I understand, I am a person who sins as well." Jesus, on the other hand, was like, "I get it, temptation happens, but I don't sin." And he is not sinful. And so he handles that. He's different in the way that he manages that. He was holy. Yes, he knew pain. Yes, he knew hunger. Yes, he knew hurt. And he understands that. He understands the hurt and the pain and the experiences that you have. But one area that he doesn't understand is the act of sinning. That is not Jesus. He is perfect. He is holy. He is a high priest that is different than the normal, and one that we need. We need a high priest that understands us, but calls us to something more. The story goes, and I have a feeling that this illustration may fall apart, but I still think it's valuable and important. The story goes that a man fell into a hole And there was no way for this man to get out of this hole. He would try to climb up it, and he couldn't. He just kept falling back down into this hole. And along came some really wise people and said, if you do this and that, surely you'll get out of the hole. Surely, if you pray three times a day and you face a specific direction, surely you'll get out of the hole. And then another wise person came along and said, oh, well, if you believe this, that the hole doesn't exist, then surely you'll get out of the hole. And so he thought really hard and meditated really hard and just did everything that he could, and nothing changed. He just remained in the hole. And then another person came along and climbed down into the hole and lifted him up out of the hole, put him up on his shoulders, had a rope so that he'd climb up. That's what Jesus does in being our great high priest. He comes down into the hole. He comes down into the world that you and I have lived, comes down into the dirt, the pain, the hurt, the struggles, puts us up on his shoulders and lifts us up out of the hole. That's the high priest that we're talking about this morning. He knows us, he understands us, but he calls us to something more. Calls us to holiness, calls us to following after him who is the great high priest. Third one is this, is that he is the mediator that we need. I've got a 10-verse passage for you that I just want you to follow along with me. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, it says this: every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as for the sins of his people. And no one takes this honor on himself, but he receives it when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and he was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. There is a comparison that is happening in these 10 verses in this passage, and one that helps us to understand the difference between Jesus the high priest and a normal high priest. And this slide gives us the understanding of them. Verse 1 describes that the high priest, the priesthood of Aaron, is selected among men, and Jesus is designated by God. Number 5:2 says that the Aaronic priesthood deal gently with sin. But Jesus, on the other hand, is the perfect source of salvation. And that's what he's calling us to. And then again in 5:2 is that it describes that they are sinful themselves, that the high priests of old were sinful themselves, but Jesus is obedient through suffering. And then in 5:3 it talks about that they offer sacrifices for themselves and others, but Jesus in 5:7 says that he offers himself. The priest, yes, was called by God, and Jesus, yes, is called by God. But what we need is a high priest that is designated by God, that is perfect, and he's the source of salvation. He's obedient through suffering, and he offers himself. The high priest of old could only offer sacrifices once for himself and then another for others. But we have a high priest that gets rid of the Old Testament sacrificial system and puts it on himself. The once for all time sacrifice of himself. Jesus does. Jesus did what regular high priests could not do. They could only offer regular sacrifices for himself and for people. And if you and I were the high priest, that's what we would do. We would offer that sacrifice for ourselves and then for the people. But Jesus doesn't have to offer a sacrifice for himself. He doesn't need it. But he takes it upon himself to sacrifice himself as the source of salvation. Hebrews 8, 1 through 6 says this. Now the main point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by a mere human being. Every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already priests who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and a shadow of what is in heaven, and this is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle. See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is the mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. This is reminding us that Jesus is the true mediator. He is the true go-between between humanity, a sinful humanity, and a holy God. Jesus is the one who sits at the right hand of God, serving as the high priest in the true sanctuary, not the one that's built by human hands, the ones that are shadows of what is to come. But Jesus intercedes in the sanctuary of God in heaven on your behalf and my behalf. Jesus is this high priest. And to be honest, we need him. We need this sacrifice that he gave. We need his body and his blood that was offered because we need salvation. On our own, we can't have salvation. We can't be right with God. But with Jesus, with faith in him, we are made right with God. And Jesus goes to the Father on our behalf. We have a mediator. He understands us, and he's eternal. This is Jesus as the great high priest, and we need him. Let's pray. Father, there are many times when words just are insufficient. Where the grandness of who you are, the grandness of the ministry that your son has had, the inner workings of salvation and grace and mercy are just, they're just too much. Words, they just don't come to me. And this is one of those moments where sometimes I just don't know the words to say except for thank you. Thank you for being our high priest. Thank you for sending Jesus in a way that does for us what we couldn't do on our own, that reminds us that there is something that is bigger on the other side of heaven that we just don't get. We see glimpses of, we see understandings of, but we are clouded. Our vision is clouded because of our sin, because of our humanity. But thank you that in Jesus we have a high priest that goes to you on our behalf and loves you the way, loves us and loves you the way that we should, and shows that and reveals that to us. God, today I pray that if there's anyone in the room that is just, or listening online, that just needs a moment to just reflect on your goodness, that they would take it today and reflect on your mercy, reflect on your grace. And if there's someone that needs to take a step of faith today to say, I believe in this high priest, Lord, I pray that you would give them the courage to make that step of faith today. And then tell somebody about it. Lord, through Jesus, we're called to pursue him, to love him. Where the old selves are cast away and the new creation begins to live. And Father, I pray that we would hold on to that in a strong way today for your glory. And for your mercy. Continue to speak to us today through the words of Hebrews. May we be challenged and moved today by it. Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much for worshiping with us this morning. And I want to draw your attention finally to our faith promise commitments. I'm not going to linger long here, but if you are interested in partnering with us in these faith promise commitments, I invite you to just tear the bottom portion off and write down the amount that you are committing to for the next 7 months. And at some point in time during the last song or during the ending of our service, just walk yourself to the back. There's a tithing box that is in the corner in the hallway there, and just place that there as a way of obedience and a way of commitment. And so then we can also kind of have an idea of how we might be planning for the rest of these 7 months for our faith promise commitments. And it gives us a way for us to know that we're partnering, hold ourselves accountable, and then hold the top portion for yourself as a way of reminder. Faith promise commitments are an act of worship. And so that's why we do it through a song this morning, as a way of expressing our gratitude and our thanks to him. Won't you stand and let's sing together.